ABC Radio Australia.
Well, as of yesterday, social media apps like TikTok, Instagram and Snapchat are no longer accessible to children under the age of 16 in Australia. Now, the new online safety amendment law is now in force, protecting children from online harm, bullying, while limiting exposure to excessive screen time. But what impact will this new law have on Pacific communities here in Australia and across the wider region? To help us unpack this is Professor and Chair of Social Work and Policy Studies at the University of Sydney, Dr. Georgie Ravulo. Welcome to the show, Georgie.
Nisan Pulo Vinakaran, g'day. Hi, good morning.
Thank you very much. I know it is a morning. And, you know, as of yesterday, I must say, how did we get to this stage where a nationwide ban is needed?
A big part of this is to ensure that we are creating and sustaining online safety for our children and young people. There has been various accounts of young people and children being exposed to material that is not helpful, whether that might be based on the content itself, but also social media has been at times a vehicle for online bullying and other areas of concern that the government is wanting to sort of look at and ensure that their young people and children are not exposed to in the future.
Yeah, and I know you've alluded to it a little bit, but why do you feel legislators felt like this was necessary?
I think legislators were of the mind that if social media companies weren't necessarily going to regulate this sort of content, it was a matter of then the government taking some sort of proactive measure. So there was also this concern of not just cyberbullying or other areas of online safety, but predatory behaviour that may occur, especially when it comes to older individuals wanting to have access to children and young people. So I think a big part was to support the development of young people and children in a happy and healthy way. So it wasn't necessarily a punitive measure from the accounts given by the government. It was more around a proactive approach to ensuring children and young people felt safe in their own communities.
Yeah. Georgie, like from your understanding, you know, under the new law, what we're seeing is that so children under 16, you know, they won't get penalised if they access those age-restricted social media platforms. It's actually the platform, right, who could incur hefty fines if they don't take reasonable steps to prevent under 16s from having accounts. Is that correct?
That's exactly right. So the fines range like from tens of thousands of dollars for breach of this particular new law. And yes, it's about them putting the responsibility back on those social media companies to ensure that they're complying, again, with the idea that we are protecting children and young people from these particular harms.
Well, then, if we do look to our community here, right, like how do you think this ban will affect the Pacific community here in Australia?
So it's a mixed bag. From my point of view, social media is like any other thing that we have access to in society. For me, it's about educating people to engage with these particular resources in ways that is healthy and enables them to engage well. So for me, young Pacific people, a lot of the time they're using social media to connect to their communities, whether it be their own local communities here in Australia, let alone their communities and even their cultural communities back in the islands. So this is going to be quite an interesting, I think, journey for a lot of our Pacifica young people and children, because for them, they've utilized social media as a form of being able to connect, communicate and understand and culture.
Yeah. Georgie, do you think, though, it'll be received differently, though, in, like, Pacific homes, compared to Australian families across the board?
I think it may be, because unlike maybe Australian communities that may only have family located in Australia alone, for a lot of Pacific families, children and young people, they have lots of family members in places like Aotearoa, New Zealand, but also in the Pacific Islands themselves. And for many, they've utilised social media as a way to connect, create community, and even, again, understand their own cultural perspectives and practices. So even language, the way in which we understand our Pacific languages can be part of the social media access. Mm. And so I think that might have some sort of influence over the years.
Yeah. Well, do you think this law will be, like, let's stretch it out now, right? Law would be popular with mm-hmm. Pacific governments, you know, and do you think they might want to take this sort of approach on?
Yeah, in my experience, there has been concerns with online safety, e-safety in the Pacific Islands, especially when it comes to bullying and even areas of discrimination and abuse. There are, you know, various chat groups and pages in the Pacific that are even utilized for that particular purpose. And generally they're aimed towards adults. They're not normally aimed towards children, young people. But I think it's an opportunity for our Pacific nations to look at how do they also understand e-safety more broadly for children, young people, and the wider community.
Mm. Is there any sort of maybe countries you might be aware of that might be interested in following up with us?
I know that there's ongoing critical conversations with e-safety commissioners in places like Fiji, where they're always looking at how do they ensure that if there are concerns associated with online interactions, that they're able to actually create a response. But really, this really does involve a whole of government and whole of community response. It's not just about blaming individuals to be better when it comes to their own behaviours online. It's a matter of creating policy and legislation that is responsive. But it's not just about the creating, you know, even bans on social media. It's about being able to show that we've got broader legislation and political responses and even local community responses that stamp out things that are unhelpful. That includes domestic and family violence and other areas of concern.
I want to sort of go down, you know, there is obviously arguments from both sides, right? Critics say policy is a little bit too blunt. It could isolate vulnerable young children. I mean, how valid is this concern?
Look, for a lot of young people who may be in various equity groups, they've traditionally used social media to connect with other people so they feel like they're not alone. And so that includes people in low socioeconomic areas, but also gender and sexual diverse communities as well. They've generally utilized their platforms to create a sense of community. So yes, more broadly, there are concerns associated with such young people and how they will continue to connect and create community and access others as part of their own journey.
Yeah. I wonder if we could just quickly maybe elaborate on that, because I know, Georgie, we did a story about a month ago, you know, of Pacific kids mm-hmm. who are here because, you know, of scholarships and really their connection with the outside world or back to homeland is through social media. I'm just wondering how then can we sort of address that gap?
I think we're going back to pen and paper letters, and I'm just joking. I remember those.
I love those, yeah.
Well, no, this is a thing. So I think there will be opportunities for other platforms to potentially be used, whether it might be texting apps or other apps that might be introduced. But I agree. I think that we do need to be mindful that for Pacific young people that may be coming directly from the islands for a period of time, it's important they still continue to have a connection back to their communities and cultures. And so that's something that we do need to be mindful of. And I think we do need to continue to support our communities to explore different options for that to occur.
Yeah. Okay. Well, before I let you go, Georgie, again, have you been able to speak to some young children, you know, and to really understand how they're feeling about this change?
I have, and they feel like they're being unfairly treated. I've spoken to a range of young people and children. Some of them are quite, you know, concerned that they now no longer will have access to material that they were previously accessing. Fun fact, I even got verified with my facial recognition app yesterday, and the app didn't recognize my face. It actually said that it was not a real face. So that's another key point. That's right. I think I do have a real face though. But I think this is the point. I think it's about navigating the technologies as well. And I think some of the young people and children have a better grasp on the technology. So I'm intrigued as to where we're going with this and whether there's going to be potential loopholes that may occur. But at the same time, this is the key thing. I think it's very, very important that Pacific parents continue to have those conversations with their children, young people, about how to access these particular apps if they are, but also the ongoing education around online e-safety and ensuring we minimise any harm.
Absolutely, yes. That conversation definitely needs to continue with our parents and our children. Look, Dr. Georgi, really appreciate you coming on this morning. Always grateful for your insights to these conversations. Thank you. That is Professor and Chair of Social Work and Policy Studies at the University of Sydney, Dr. Georgi Ravulo.